We have little parts of Matthew's Gospel referred to in writings as early as the 2nd century. You know, people are writing stories and they quote a little bit from Matthew. We find little bits of it, because manuscripts are hard to keep, aren't they? And they fall apart and they break and they get corrupted and get lost, and naturally. So we find bits of that in the 2nd and 3rd century. The first actual complete manuscript that we've got of the Greek Gospel of Matthew is in two books that we still have. One's called, they called a Codex, is the name for a book, Codex Vaticanus, because it's kept in the Vatican, and the other is called Codex Sinaiticus, because it was found on Mount Sinai, actually only 100 and so years ago, by a German scholar who discovered it there. And that was a wonderful find for the scholarly world, because it was a beautiful support to the information we already had. But we have statements going right back, and I'll just, there's only four I want to share with you, there are many, who claim, because the Gospel doesn't say who wrote it, who claim that this Gospel was written by a man called Matthew. The earliest statement we have, it's actually in the History of the Church written by Eusebius, but he's quoting a bishop called Papias, who was a bishop in what we'd now call Western Turkey. And he wrote, or is claimed to have written, Matthew, he said, made an ordered arrangement of the oracles, note that, the words that Jesus spoke, the oracles, in the Hebrew language, and each translated it as he was able. No reason to doubt that. So Matthew, the man you know, wrote down the sayings of Jesus in his own native tongue, in Jesus' own native tongue, Aramaic, which could easily be called a Hebrew language. Irenaeus, a man from Western Turkey himself, though he was a missionary and was the first bishop of Lyons in France, he wrote an enormous book called Against the Heresies, the New Age. That's not a fair way of putting it, but it's a similar movement in that second century, called Gnosticism. And it's Matthew, he said, produced a gospel in written form among the Hebrews in their own language at the time when Peter and Paul were preaching the gospel and founding the church in Rome. Was Irenaeus' information accurate or not? We've got no way of checking, but that's what he says. Origen, the first great scripture scholar, writing in Alexandria, which is a Greek city just in the delta of the Nile River in what we call Egypt, he wrote, the first gospel to be written was that according to Matthew, once a tax collector but later an apostle of Jesus Christ. He published it for those who had come to faith from Judaism, and it was composed in Hebrew. And our final early bit of information is from the great scholar Jerome, who went over to this part of the world, lived in a cave in Bethlehem, learned Hebrew, travelled among the people, and was the first to translate, not the first, sorry, he made a major translation of the Bible into Latin, the so-called Vulgate, which has been the classical text of the church from the end of the 4th century right through till the present. And he, a scholar whom you could absolutely trust, says, Matthew, also called Levi, a former tax collector, then an apostle, first composed a gospel of Christ in Judea for the sake of those who'd come to faith from the circumcision, from Judaism, in Hebrew letters and words. It is not known with certainty who subsequently translated it into Greek. The Hebrew text itself is still preserved to this day in the library at Caesarea. A scholar would just give his right arm to be able to get hold of that. But the library was burnt and despoiled, and this is lost. So many wonderful books were lost from the libraries of Alexandria and Caesarea through the terrible wars that people still go on with, and the bombs and the fires and the... So that document is lost. Lastly, in this introductory point, Matthew is mentioned only twice in the New Testament, and both texts are there. The first is in Matthew's own Gospel, chapter 9, verse 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. That was in Capernaum, where Jesus made his home on the Lake of Galilee, the last town in Herod's territory. And so that's where the army was, that's where the Roman road went by there, that's where the tax collector collected for anyone going up to Damascus or down to Egypt would have to pass by Capernaum and pay their dues to Herod. And that's the Matthew we're talking about. We find him mentioned also in chapter 10 among one of the 12 apostles in a text that you know very well. So let me conclude what I've tried to say to you. The most probable, and that's all I can say, the most probable opinion is that, yes, from that evidence we've received, Matthew the apostle, was responsible for writing in Aramaic the sayings of Jesus, copied down as a scribe might the sayings of the master whom he loved. The gospel we call the gospel according to Matthew is a Greek gospel, most quite likely from Antioch, and most probably based on the gospel of Mark, because you'll notice if you've compared gospels there's a lot of similarities. But Mark has very few sayings of Jesus. So a good way of approaching it in the light of all the scholarship I'm aware of is to think that Mark's gospel, which gives the storyline, as it were, and a lot of the theological development, somebody in Antioch takes Mark's gospel and inserts into it the oracles of Matthew that have been handed down in Aramaic and, of course, translates them into Greek. And so we have the wonderful Sermon on the Mount, the wonderful sermon to the missionaries, and the five blocks of teachings of Jesus for which Matthew is most famous. And so we end up with a gospel that is based on Mark, but according to Matthew, drawing the beautiful words of Jesus to enrich this text. Matthew's gospel was the one most popular in the early church, and I think the main reason would have been because it's the beauty of the teaching